Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 116th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Samira Al-Baldawi. Samira was a bank manager for the Rashid Bank in Baghdad, Iraq, before moving to Atlanta and then Maine in 2008. Samira has been a citizen for 4 years now, and after some unfortunate and unusual health problems, she requested an opportunity to come on the air last summer and again today to express her gratitude for the help she has received in Maine. Welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Samira.
We come back. Thank you very much.
Such a pleasure to have you in the studio again. So, as I understand it, on January 14th, 2014, you were standing on a sidewalk in Portland, Maine, and you were struck by a car in a hit-and-run accident. You were rushed to Maine Med Center, and there you encountered Dr. Scott McCorvey, a then emergency room intern in his training. What would you like to tell us about your experience during this trauma? What would you like to say to Dr. McCorvey?
I need to tell Dr. McCorvey thank you very so much. Dear Dr. McCorvey, I would like to thank you for your big hour in saving my life. I sustained a severe road traffic accident for about 2 years ago. I was nearly died when I was in emergency department, but you did a big task in resuscitating me and bringing me to alive again. Today I am so grateful that first God and then to you have saved my life. Thank you so much, Samira Al-Baldawi.
That's a beautiful statement that you prepared and read for us today.
Thank you.
How did you learn all that Scott McCorvey did for you to save your life, because you had basically died and then you were brought to life? But how did you find out it was he who helped you and what he did?
Dr. McCorvey make me Dr. McCorvey open a hole in my neck.
Throat. Yeah, a tracheotomy.
Yes, mm-hmm. And put a tube in here in this hole, and to give me oxygen because blood pressure is zero and balance is zero, and oxygen is zero. He open this hole and put a tube in hole and give me oxygen again. And give me the life after God, the life again.
Yeah, he and God together saved
yes.
your life.
Yes.
Yeah. And you had many broken bones as well, didn't you?
Yes. 3 bones in my right legs and 2 bones in my hip and a problem in another hip. And Dr. Enjoy 2 hips by platine.
Mm-hmm. That was a big day in your life.
Yes, and I have blood clot in my legs, and go to my lungs, and after that go to my heart. When you go to my heart, the blood pressure is zero and the oxygen zero and the plus is zero. When you make this surgery by Dr. McCorvey, the the blood clot go to the return back to the lungs. And then after that, gone. The blood clot is gone.
So you are really at the edge of life with no pulse, no
blood pressure, no.
Yeah. And so this saves your life, this tracheotomy,
yes,
and
yes.
Someone attending to you.
God and Dr. McCarvey give me alive again.
Yeah.
I so thank you for Dr. McCarvey.
And Dr. McCarvey was an intern, which is a student at the hospital. And he's gone on now for his training has completed, and he's gone on to be a physician somewhere else. But his path and your path crossed on that day. And forever you are grateful to him.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is amazing to realize how many people have spent their whole lives training to help us in case of an emergency, isn't it? We don't realize that people are out there training today for an emergency we'll have in the future.
Yes.
How can we ever express our gratitude in such situations? How do we let them know that we're thankful? You've been one of his more thankful patients, I imagine. How did you tell him that you were thankful?
For what?
For his surgery, Dr. McCarvey. Did you tell him thank you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell him thank you very, very much. I pray for God to give him and God mind to remember. He remember me, but I don't remember him. When I go to the emergency room, department emergency room, when he saw me, told me I make surgery for you before 2 years ago. When accident by the car, told him, yes, that's right. You know, I don't know who doctor make me alive again. I found it now. That's great. For give me address and give me. I take picture with you. I take a picture with him, and I very happy when we saw him.
So at the time, you had no idea who was helping you. But when you went back in,
yes.
He recognized you.
Yes, that's right.
And that was a really good day.
Yes.
Yes. And you've been praying for him ever since.
Yes.
It's amazing how we affect each other and how something we train to do makes a difference in someone else's life. I think that's very encouraging.
Because give me a life again, and I... surprised and happy now when you, God and Dr. McCarvey give me alive again.
Yes. How long did you stay in the hospital after this major accident?
2 months.
2 months.
Yes.
That's a very long time to be in the hospital, yeah. Recovering.
But now I stay in home 3 years.
You've been in your same apartment for 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Who helped you while you were recovering after you left the hospital?
My sister and the government bring me nurse and bring me...
Did you have a visiting nurse?
Yes. And bring me a lady to help me in my home.
Do some rehab.
And family. First, my family helped me when I leave the hospital. My family helped me. But after that, because my family, you have a sister have family and another sister have family, government bring me a lady to help me in home.
I'm so glad you had the support you needed to be independent
again. That's very
good.
I thank you for government.
Oh, You thank the government, and that's really beautiful because that's what it's for, right? We all pool our money together to make sure that people who need it, and someday it might be us, gets the help we need.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
Was the driver of the car that struck you in the hit-and-run accident ever caught? Did anybody ever get caught for doing that?
No. He asked me and gone. And no, I don't see him.
Yeah.
And leave it in the street half hour.
You were in the street for half an hour before you got
to
the hospital?
Yes, and the blood...
That's when the blood clot happened?
Yes, and the blood, I have blood in...
Bloody forehead?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how do you feel about that part of the story today? That you were hit standing on a sidewalk and that nobody was ever caught?
Yes, no.
How do you think about that?
I don't forget this, what happened when I, in hospital, when I opened my eyes and see my family and my friend. I no forget what happened for me.
No, that was devastating. You are listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Samira Al-Baldawi. She grew up in Iraq and was a bank manager at the Rashid Bank before coming to Maine in 2008. Samira, tell us about your family and growing up in Iraq. What did your parents do for work?
My father is a manager in city, and my mother is in home.
And she raised how many children? How many kids were there?
Eight.
There were eight of you.
Yes.
Wow. She was busy. What did they think and say about the value of education?
Value of education, it is for me, it is the life for learning.
Your life is all about learning?
Yes.
Yeah.
For family, is opportunity. Because we provide educationally in subject like technology.
Yes, very advanced technologies are taught in Iraq as well as all other subjects, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
What did your siblings do for education and careers? It seems to me that I remember you have many brothers and sisters who became dentists and doctors and things like that.
Yes.
Can you remind me of what people do for work, your brothers and sisters?
My oldest sister is a pharmacist. My oldest brother is a prophet in
a professor?
College. Yeah, uh-huh. Professor in college for genetics.
Genetic professor.
Yeah. And my sister, another sister, is teaching. And another brother is a professor for biochemistry. And another brother has died for the war.
In the war he died?
Yes.
In Baghdad?
Yes, in Iraq. And another, my sister is tourism. Mm-hmm. Tourism. And me, I have statistics. And another brother, the youngest brother, is professor for physics.
Physics, biochemistry, and genetics.
Yes.
There was nothing lacking in your education as a family, was there? Statistics, education. That's an amazing group of people your family turned out.
Yes, thank you.
They must have showed you all how much they cared about education. How did they tell you, how did you see it in them, what they cared about, that they cared so much for education? Your parents raised you all to always learn.
Yes, that's right.
And did your parents, did they say it, or did they just expect that you would become well-educated?
Expect.
Yeah.
Education.
And the education system in Iraq, as I understand it, is very advanced.
Yes, that's right.
School is a serious business.
Yes.
I had one young man from Iraq come in and say when he went to high school here, he couldn't believe it because there, if you got out your cell phone, they would just take it. That would be it. You'd be sent home.
Yeah.
But here, you know, people are texting under the table all day long. And he said the teachers here were lighthearted and friendly, and they wanted school to be fun. And he said, not there. There, you must know the material, and you move very fast.
Yes, that's right.
That's amazing. And your education was free and public, is that right?
Yes.
All the way through college, if you keep passing tests, you can keep studying.
Yes, that's right.
And look at what your family created and with your government and your community support. You're all making a big difference in the world, in different corners of the world. So, as a woman, were there any careers that you were unable to have in Iraq? Could you have also been a biochemistry professor?
Yes.
Is there a job that you would not have been allowed to be?
Yes.
What jobs could you not do?
No, he take it, the professor from England, and return back to Iraq to teach in college.
I see. So he trained in England.
Yes.
But as a woman, for you, were there any jobs that you were not allowed to do? Could
no.
You could do anything. You could be a doctor, a lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And are you as grateful for your education as you are for all the help you got from the doctors?
Yes, that's right.
I think you're an incredibly grateful person. That's
yes.
part of who you are, isn't it?
It's very clever.
Yeah. So you've been in Maine for 8 years now. And based on this interview and your previous interview on New Mainers Speak in August of 2015, you've recovered from a major accident and an intense neck surgery. And I wonder, how would you say that you are different today than before you came to the United States?
Whatever I expected happened.
Whatever you expected happened?
Yes.
What did you expect?
I wish to have a home, to have safety. I got what I want.
Yes. You wanted to live independently?
Yes.
And to live a safe life?
Yes. In Iraq, no safe life.
It's hard for us to understand what it does to somebody to not live in a safe place. Can you tell us what was unsafe in your life in Iraq? What felt unsafe?
In Iraq, no women live in home alone. But here, that's easy. And no safety in Iraq, because the war and bombs and everywhere.
Just walking to work can be dangerous.
Yes. No safety.
Right. So here...
No electric, no water, no... The weather is very hot and dusty. Here is very nice weather. very, and electric and water and everything is here.
Sure. In Baghdad, you certainly had electricity and water, but that would probably go out, right, with the war. Would you lose electricity, or did you not have any electricity?
No, because the war is here and explore and...
Sure. The explosion knocks out the electricity.
Yes, that's right.
So you never know when you're going to have electricity, when you're going to have, water.
And the weather is very dusty because the war, many war in Iraq.
Yes. So many explosions all over the city all the time. And I think that point that you made that here you get to live independently, which just wouldn't happen for a single woman in Iraq. Where would you have lived in Iraq as a single woman? Would you live with family or with other single women?
Yes. Uh-huh. With the family or with my brother or with my sister, like that, but not to live alone.
And you like the independence?
Yes.
And you still live alone?
Yes.
Do you get out for walks in Portland? Do you walk around the city at all?
Yes.
And have you ever felt unsafe?
Yes, everywhere safe.
Everywhere you feel safe?
Yes.
I bet that feels good after years of not having that.
I'm very happy here in Portland because the people is very, very nice with me. I have many friends, American here.
Yes.
I'm very happy here.
I think people probably...
I thanks for God because bring me here to make the life again.
Yes, you really rebuilt your life here as an immigrant. Samira, you have been through extraordinarily difficult medical situations since you've been a citizen in this country, and still you are so grateful. That's very impressive to me. I wish you nothing but fabulous health as you live well for all the coming years as a Mainer. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much for Kitty.
Samira, would you be so kind as to introduce the song you selected to close today's program? Do you want to say anything about this?
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes.
So the song is by Amir El-Safar.
Amir El-Safar, yes.
And it's from his album called Two Rivers. And it is the song called Kosh Reng. Do you know what that is? Kosh Reng? I don't know. Samira says she loves all music, especially quiet, calm music.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much.
And you listen to the radio, too?
Yes, please.
You ever listen to WMPG? Okay, so here is Amir El-Safar.